But if you've heard this story, I have a quick story to open. I guess, first of all, can you hear me okay? Doing okay? A quick story to open, and if you've heard it before, it's an old one, so just bear with me. There was once a naval battleship captain that looked into the dark night and saw a light out in the distance. And immediately he told the signalman to send a message saying, "Alter your course 10 degrees south." He very promptly received a reply that said, "Alter your course 10 degrees north." So this kind of infuriated the captain. Obviously, he was in charge of that very big battleship. So the captain sent another message, "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I'm a captain." Soon, another reply was received, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones." The captain at this point was beyond angry, and he sent a final message. He said, "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship." The reply quietly came back, "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse." So that's an old one, but I always like that story. So you may be thinking, what does that have to do with repentance? The title of my sermon today is Daily Repentance. Maybe thinking to yourself, what does that have to do with repentance? Well, had the battleship captain not realized the error of his ways, humbled himself, and changed course, the consequences would have been very disastrous for the ship and everybody aboard. In my mind, that's a good picture of repentance. So I don't know about you, but it's very easy and very tempting to think that everything's okay. You know, we're in charge. We kind of, we got it all together. We're doing fine. Comparatively speaking, we're not as bad as some of the people we know. We don't do those things. Certainly don't do that. We're doing okay. Comparatively. And if you'd like to open your Bibles, great. If not, no problem. If you want to open to 1 Corinthians 10 and then verse 12 and 13, I'm going to take a quick drink. And forgive me, I got coughing issues today. So, in my Bible, which is the Christian Standard Bible, and by the way, I don't know if Dan's here or not, but I've really enjoyed Sunday school. I'll put a plug in for Sunday school. Just learning the origins of the Bible, where did it come from? I don't know about you guys, but I've really enjoyed that. So, there's my plug for Sunday school. So, 1 Corinthians 10, 12, and 13 says, "So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to bear it." And then I have a Charles Spurgeon Bible. I like Charles Spurgeon, and he does a lot of the footnotes below, and I particularly like the footnote on that verse. So Charles Spurgeon has a great footnote on 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. Paul offered several comforts by which fainting spirits may be revived. First, none of us have been tried in any unusual way. We may think we have been tried more than others, but it's only our lack of knowledge of, but it is only the lack of the knowledge of the trials of others that leads us to imagine that our trials are unique." I really like that statement. We all have trials. We all have sins that tempt us. Some more than others are all unique to us, but we all have them. We all go through it. So we're not unique in that sense. Satan knows just exactly where to aim his arrows. He's a master deceiver. And then to finish up his quote here, he says, "Second, we have a far better source of comfort than that. But God is faithful. We are not faithful in the full sense of the term, but God is faithful to all his promises. What more do we need than the faithfulness of God to banish from," pardon me, "to banish from our minds all dark forebodings? Further comfort for a tired and tempted believer arises from God's power, God's judgment, and the restraint God puts on temptation. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able." Sorry. Really sorry, I'm coughing all of them. So I was thinking about that, and God does provide a way out of our temptations every time. He does provide it. Sometimes it's as simple as just simply getting up and leaving, walking away. But he does, every single time, he provides a way out. And I am thankful for that. But sometimes we do not take that way out. We stumble, we sin. If you guys, again, if you're in your Bibles, if you want to open to Romans 7, 14 through 25, the Apostle Paul, he knew all too well of the problem that we all have with sin. And I'm sure you've read this 1,000 times. I know I have, but I'll let you get there quick and take another drink of water. And Paul says in Romans 7, 14 through 25, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold as a slave to sin. For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. Now if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it is the sin living in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one that does it, but it is the sin that lives in me. So I discover this law: when I want to do what is good, evil is present with me. For in my inner self, I delight in God's law. But I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I'm serving the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin." So the statement that always strikes me in particular in Romans 7 is, "But I see a different law in the parts of my body waging war against the law of my mind." Have you ever said something, done something, or thought something and immediately thought, where did that come from? Why did I do that? And total shock, I can't believe I did that. I know I have countless times. Whether we like it or not, we are in a war. It is a daily war, and it is a war with sin. And because this is a daily war, it's my feeling that we need daily repentance in our walk with Christ. King David, in Psalm 19:12, went as far as to say, "Who perceives his unintentional sins? Cleanse me from my hidden faults. Moreover, keep your servant from willful sins. Do not let them rule me. Then I will be blameless and cleansed from blatant rebellion. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. And the thing I've obviously, maybe you probably have read that a lot too, thing that always strikes me, sin is so deceitful that we can literally be sinning and just not even realize it. Cleanse me from my hidden faults, my unintentional sins. Won't expound on that, but it just always hits me. So I chose this topic not to make anyone feel bad or leave feeling terrible about themselves or to go away down in the dumps. Far from it. I don't, that's not my intention. I do think we should have remorse and sorrow over the sin in our lives. After all, it separates us from a holy and perfect God that loves us very dearly. But repentance, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but hopefully change your mind a little bit on repentance. Repentance presents a wonderful opportunity. Wonderful opportunity. The word repentance, I looked this up in the Bible, literally means the act of changing one's mind. Erdman's Bible Dictionary includes this definition of repentance. In its fullest sense, it is a term for a complete change of orientation involving a judgment upon the past and a deliberate redirection for the future. I think that's a wonderful opportunity. We get the opportunity to align our thoughts, words, our actions with God and his plan for us. And I just think, you know, that's great. There's you know, like I said, this isn't to browbeat anyone, but we can all improve in a lot of areas of our life. And I think aligning our thoughts, words, and actions with God's plan for us is always a good thing, obviously. I like that term, redirection. Just like the battleship captain in the story, we need a daily redirection that changes our course toward Jesus. It's so great, it's so wonderful that we can come to Jesus, we can admit that we are or were wrong and change our course. Simple as that. Let's follow him. My thinking is incorrect. I need to align my thinking with Christ and God and his word, and that's what's best. Pretty simple. Maybe it's a small course correction, tiny. Or maybe, like the battleship captain, it's a major course correction. But isn't it wonderful to know that we can come to Christ and confess our sin and change our course in any area of our lives? Side note, I just think, you know, the world, I've had conversations with people, and actually had one this past week where, oh, you religious people, you know, it's all about pounding, telling me how terrible I am, and you know, I don't like that. I don't like that religion stuff. Could tell that the guy he's a friend of mine, was obviously convicted, and I should have, but I didn't have time to really go into it. We're in a big crowd of people, and I should have, maybe one day I will circle back to that topic. But it's just really sad to me that that's what the world thinks, that God is here to keep you under his thumb and correct your, you know, tell you how bad you are, when that's far from the truth. Repentance is about aligning your values, your thoughts, actions, and words with him, and that's perfect, and that's what's good for you. You know, I don't know what I would have said to that gentleman, my friend, but I know the consequences of sin are, you know, sickness, death, destruction. I mean, who wants that in their life, right? First John, I guess if you want to flip to First John 1, 9, and 10. This is so very wonderful, obviously, to me, and I know to you guys as well, but it's refreshing to me, I guess. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So you know, the pious people, the pharisaical type people, I have never sinned. That's out the window. We've all sinned, whether you want to admit it or not. And we make Christ a liar, we make God a liar if we say we have not sinned. So there you're sinning right there. So, so the statements, you don't know what I've done, or you don't know where I've come from, they don't apply here. That's a lie. They don't apply here, because 1 John 1, 9, and 10 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. So we're all in the same boat, guys. We all have the same affliction. We all have the same sickness, if you will. Paul realized this. It is sin. Paul realized this. King David realized this. And I love how Paul sums it up in Romans. He says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I am serving the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirements would be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Pardon me. So I just realized this was really quick. I'm sorry for that. But I guess I would just like to finish by saying, isn't it great, isn't it refreshing to be able to make a course correction? Some people see that as, oh man, this is terrible. I can't do that. Whatever it is. Having to admit that I'm a sinner or that I've failed, that's really terrible, and I just can't do it. I don't want to do it. But I'd like to maybe change your thinking on that a little bit, that it's refreshing. It's good. We should examine ourselves daily. You know, we're not going to be perfect until we reach eternity. So I would like to encourage you and me to daily repent, to daily change our course toward Jesus. It's so easy to get off course. Just like that ship's captain. I mean, you know, they had all the technology on the boat. It's a big ship. It's got guns. It's got hundreds of people. And they just got off course just a little bit. And if they hadn't have changed their mind, it would have been bad. So, to daily change our course toward Jesus, to be like Paul in Philippians 3, 13 through 15, when he says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way, And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this to you also. And, you know, just to finish up, you know, we should repent daily. We should do that. We should examine ourselves. We should align ourselves. And then after that, just remember, there's I don't even know where it came from, a saying that says there's a reason the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror, right? So let's not dwell on it. Let's repent, align ourselves with Christ, with God, and move on. So that's all I got. Sorry it's so short, but sounds like we have hymn number 488, Just As I Am.